Even a small crack will let steam escape, keeping the necessary pressure from building. Popcorn kernels with the right amount of moisture and unblemished hulls pop into the snack that just about everyone enjoys. This moment of science comes from Indiana University. Today's program was prepared by Barbara Bolts with help from William Krejci in physics. I'm Don Glass.
WILL programs are made possible by the Illinois Shakespeare Festival, presenting A Midsummer Night's Dream, Richard III, The Tempest, and Scapin from June 25th through August 8th at the Ewing Manor in Bloomington. More information online at thefestival.org or 309-438-8110.
It's 2:41. In sports, Michael Jordan's son Jeff says he will not play basketball at Illinois next year because he wants to concentrate on his studies and focus on life after basketball. Jordan walked on with the Illini and had been considered a candidate for more playing time or even a leadership role on the team next season. Coach Bruce Weber says the team will miss Jordan, but he supports the decision he made. The Green Bay Packers have accomplished perhaps their most important goal of the offseason, signing wide receiver Greg Jennings to a contract extension. The Packers announced today that they had struck a new deal with Jennings, a second-round draft pick in 2006, who has blossomed into one of the league's most dangerous receivers. At Wimbledon today, two-time champion Serena Williams has advanced to the third round, also advancing to the next round, Roger Federer. That's sports.
June 30th is less than a week away. That's the deadline for raising the money we'll need to bring you the programs and services you count on us for in the coming year. And that's why we're so compelled to get the message out right now that your support really matters. We're $14,000 closer, but still $170,000 away. You have the power to affect what you'll hear on WILL Radio beginning July 1st. Mail a check to 300 North Goodwin, Urbana, 61801. Thanks.
Gordon Hempton is an acoustic ecologist. For three decades, he traveled the world recording nature sounds for the likes of National Geographic, Discovery, Microsoft, and NPR. But about a decade ago, he began to notice it was getting harder to record natural silence without the intrusion of jets, highways, power lines, and other modern sounds. In 2001, he designated a place in Olympic National Park, one square inch of silence. And his goal is to protect that one spot from noise intrusions. Independent producer Andy McDaniel has more.
It's a damp, sunny morning in the Olympic Peninsula, and I'm about to embark on a three-hour journey with the sound tracker. He's taking me to a place where he says I'll experience pure natural sound. He calls this place One Square Inch of Silence.
I'm Gordon Hempton, the sound tracker, and basically I'm an acoustic ecologist, which means I'm a listener. I listen to places.
Hempton is about 5'6" and has the permanent tan of someone who spent his life outdoors. He's ruggedly handsome and wears just a hint of a gray beard. He's founder, president, and spokesperson for One Square Inch, which is a place in Washington State that he's trying to protect from man-made sound. When I first read about the place, I thought about all the modern noise I've learned to live with. Cell phones, sirens, traffic. Even in my quiet apartment, there's the hum of my refrigerator and my computer telling me I have a new email. I wondered what it would be like to experience real silence. So I called Gordon Hempton, and we arranged this hike. We meet at the Ho Rainforest Trailhead, where the hike to One Square Inch begins. It's chilly and overcast, and Hempton's wearing a down vest with jeans tucked into rubber boots. He's carrying a black device the size of a thermometer, a decibel meter, which he uses to measure everything he hears. A couple birds, a babbling brook, my rain pants, and so we're off. Minutes into our hike, Hempton pauses and motions for me to be quiet. The air is cool and wet, and huge mossy spruce trees tower over us.
So this is where the noise meter turns into a quiet meter. Let's just see how low it goes.
He points the decibel meter into the air and waits.
So with the wind, it's 33 dBA. And now it's getting even quieter. Let's take another reading.
It was the first of many times he would stop to test the silence. The idea for one square inch actually came to Hempton many years ago. See, for most of his life, Hempton has been a full-time explorer, traveling the globe to record nature sounds for companies like National Geographic and Discovery. Sounds like...
the surging wind, particularly through tall grasses. A variety of brooks, for example, that give a nice babbling sensation.
He even won an Emmy when he recorded the sounds of dawn on six continents. And in 1989, he got a grant to record the sounds of Washington State for its 100th anniversary.
And so what I used as sort of my musical score were the handwritten journals of our early pioneers. And I wanted to recreate that wilderness soundscape. Well, this was very difficult. Even though I was able to visit a few quiet places, I did notice how even a single passing jet would destroy many square miles below it.
He found out that historical soundscape didn't really exist anymore. He says you might even call it extinct.
Chainsaws, jets, vibrating power lines. Noise is almost everywhere. There is not a single place left on planet Earth that's undisturbed by noise. I realized if I could preserve even one square inch of silence, defend that one square inch, the quiet could impact noise just as much as noise impacts quiet.
And so one square inch was born. But not really. Hempton wasn't ready to put his idea into practice. He came up with the idea for a natural silence preserve back in 1989.
And I really thought that while it was a very effective point management strategy to preserve natural quiet, it was somebody else's job. Basically, I was busy enough. I was an acoustic ecologist traveling the world, listening to the land, and really living the dream. Well, that dream ended in the fall of 2003 when I lost my hearing. And this gave me time to think. I was out of work. I couldn't imagine myself being anybody but the sound tracker.
The sound tracker, the man who spends his life chasing sounds, could no longer hear. And what was worse, he kept hearing sounds in his head, man-made sounds.
I woke up one night and there was this thumping sound off to a distance. And so I figured it must have been a new class of supertanker. And so I listened to what I imagined to be pistons turning around, churning, thumping. I listened to it, almost thinking that my hearing, by gosh, is getting really, really good. But I was soon to discover that actually it was the beginning of my hearing loss, and that sound was coming from my head and would get much, much worse.
Hempton went to his doctor, who said it was a middle ear problem. But there was no cure, and surgery might just do more damage.
After more than a year went by of losing my hearing, I just basically said, I want my old life back, all of it, everything.
So Hempton began to think about what had been going on in his life when his hearing vanished. A few months earlier, he'd turned 50 and gone on a bit of a self-improvement kick.
So I started taking the supplements. I started adding a few of my own. And because I noticed that I was thinning in the back of my head, I started splashing on some Rogaine. And this sort of dripped around my ears, and it kind of felt good. Felt like kind of hair lotion. Well, fast forward. It was only a couple months through this therapy that I did lose my hearing. And even though all the doctors and everybody that I talked to said, no, that has nothing to do with anything.
So Hempton discontinued everything, the supplements, the Rogaine. And 2 months later, his hearing started to come back, first for an hour and then for several days at a time. And with his returned hearing came a new sense of purpose.
And when I knew I was going to get my hearing back entirely, I said, preserving silence is not someone else's job. I can do this. This can be a one-man job. And so Earth Day 2005, I established One Square Inch. The beauty of One Square Inch is that it speaks clearly to the issue. Defend one square inch of silence in the center of Olympic National Park, and the 1,000 square miles around it can be managed.
You might be wondering just how someone goes about defending silence. It's not easy. Hempton visits the spot periodically and monitors for what he calls noise intrusions.
I measure the noise level, and then I identify the noise intruder and write them a letter.
And these letters, do they ever get read?
I've gotten 3 responses, favorable. Alaska Airlines said that they would not fly unscheduled flights over Olympic Park. I'll take that. American Airlines said that they would not fly over Olympic Park. And Hawaiian Airlines, that I caught one day flying a maintenance flight over Olympic Park, said they normally don't do that. They'll never do it again.
Hempton's obsession with silence is not just about being a purist. The spread of man-made sounds is affecting the behavior of wildlife, especially birds and other animals that rely on sound to figure out where their territory ends and the next guy's begins. It's also affecting us humans.
Even though you have habituated to sound, your body does not. The body still listens. The body still produces the stress chemicals. Hearing, in evolutionary terms, is more important than sight. While we did evolve eyelids, we can afford to shut down our vision and go to sleep. No creature ever evolved earlids.
Maybe the most important thing about preserving silence, though, is just maintaining some place, even if it's a tiny place, where we can go to experience silence, to remember what it's like to be able to hear an entire valley, which is what I'm about to do. We've come to a spot beside the trail where an enormous tree stands like an archway, its middle rotted away. We're almost to One Square Inch.
So we've arrived at the turnoff. This is what we've been looking for. And behind me is the stilted spruce. We'll go in about 100 yards to where the stone marks One Square Inch. And below that is the Jar of Quiet Thoughts. The Jar of Quiet Thoughts is basically where people can read the thoughts of others that have preceded them and deposit their own if they want.
The Jar of Quiet Thoughts is an actual one-quart mason jar with slips of paper inside. There's only one rule about the Jar of Quiet Thoughts.
You cannot repeat it or quote it. The thoughts must remain quiet. There's no talking at One Square Inch. Try to keep your noise to a minimum and just sort of absorb the space. I'll have the sound level meter in my hand, and I'll record the decibels of the quiet. And also, if there is a jet intrusion during that, I'll record that as well, and then write a letter to the intruder.
I walk in a single-file line behind Hempton, through the stilted spruce. After about 50 yards, I spot an ordinary-looking log with a small red stone on top to mark the designated square inch. We've arrived. All that's left to do is listen. First, I open the Jar of Quiet Thoughts and read a few of the entries. I can't disclose their contents. Then I settle into a comfortable spot and try to absorb the absence of noise. Ten minutes pass. I hear birds, wind. To be honest, One Square Inch sounds a lot like all of the other inches of forest we passed through today. After 5 more minutes of soaking up the quiet, Hempton gives the signal, and we make our way back through the stilted spruce. On the other side, he's ready with a debriefing.
So during our listening session right then, it was short, and the bass ambience was 32 dBA, which is fairly quiet. Now, there was a jet intrusion during that time, but it was immeasurable. But also, it's not an intrusion that I will write a letter for, because that's kind of an argument that I'm not willing to wage at this point.
It's hard not to be amused by the idea of protecting a tiny little piece of quiet, the size of a potato chip or a slice of pepperoni, smaller even than the human ear. But make no mistake, Gordon Hempton knows that that little red stone is just a catchy placeholder for a much bigger idea.
Probably the biggest value of one square inch is it starts us thinking about silence and how sound behaves and how far sound can even travel. I get some responses like, well, one square inch of silence, why don't you just put a jar on top of the stone? And so I think to myself, this is a real statement made from the modern world.
If Hempton is right, if natural silence really is going extinct, then hiking here today has been a rare experience, like spotting an endangered bird. Except that silence is more subtle. By definition, it's anticlimactic.
Here at Olympic Park, the budget for natural quiet management is zero. In fact, there's no person that's actually working to preserve the oral solitude here. It all comes down to a stone and a jar.
That feature from independent producer Andy McDaniel.
Earth and sky.
Most people would acknowledge that plastics are, they're really essential. To me, it'd be really hard to imagine a day without plastics.
You're listening to Jeffrey Coates, a chemist at Cornell University. He's created a range of new plastics from renewable resources.
There's a lot of interest in trying to get away from oil as a way to make plastics. So going to a renewable resource, something that's plentiful in the environment, is of a lot of interest.
One of his plastics is made using carbon dioxide, which Coates calls a virtually unlimited resource since it's abundant in the atmosphere. Coates said the biggest challenge was finding the right catalyst. That's a chemical that converts other chemicals from one form to another.
Carbon dioxide is a gas, and obviously plastic is a solid. So carbon dioxide is mixed with other chemicals, and they're hooked together to make these large molecular chains that we know as plastics.
Coates said that his environmentally friendly plastics biodegrade more quickly than traditional plastics.
They have linkages in the backbone of the plastic that